Without God's help, preaching is a vain endeavor because I'm not persuasive enough to reach inside your mind and change it, and neither is anybody else. But God, He can change the heart, so that's definitely something to look forward to. God changing our hearts tonight. That was a lovely special, and I just loved the singing. It was good. All of the singing tonight was very wonderful. It's a blessing to be in the house of God and to raise God's name up in song. And I don't know about you, but often throughout the week, songs we've sung on Sunday will pop back up in my mind. And that is probably one of the best blessings we can have because it informs us on how we ought to think. More than anything else, music controls us. And if we are listening to and hearing good music, or if the words of these songs are in our mind, then our attitude will be towards God all through the week. We're not talking about music tonight. I just wanted to say that was a blessing. This evening, we are going to be looking at what I believe is God's call on the pastor, and you may say, oh, okay, here it goes. You may know or you may not know, I'm up here because I'm interested in being pastor here, and Buddy is interested in me taking over, possibly. So this is probation time. And I didn't mention it before because it doesn't fit with the message, but tonight I want us to consider what it is that the heart of a pastor needs to be, and then I hope that you will judge me on that. We will be looking at a couple of passages, and I think the heart of the pastor, this is not the requirements of a pastor, because the men and I will discuss that in great detail probably later this week, but the heart of a pastor, that is, the heart of one who is working for God. If you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, we will look at Paul's heart. And I hope to see a couple of tiers of instruction here. First, so that you can see what I am aiming towards in my ministry. Secondly, so you can judge me, as I've already mentioned, and see if I'm actually meeting up to that standard. But thirdly, so you can see whether you are being ministered to or whether you are growing in the way that you ought. Because all of those things are pictured here in this passage. We'll begin reading in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Let's open a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we do ask that you would explain your word to us, make our hearts ready and receptive to hear it. Lord, I acknowledge I am not worthy of the high calling that you have given, and yet, Lord, you have put me here. And Father, we ask that you would work even tonight, that those who are hearing and those who are speaking would all come in agreement on your word. Amen. You may have noticed there is a word in here, and this is why this passage caught my attention a fair while ago. It is the word minister. Over and over, Paul is saying, I am made a minister. And what is it that he is ministering? Well, first, in verse 23, it is, I am made a minister of the gospel. That is what Paul went about doing. He went about as a minister of the gospel. He would apply the gospel to everyone around him. This is perhaps the first and most important duty of one who is a minister in the church. Whether it is a deacon or an elder or a man of great standing, or whether it is the pastor, the heart needs to be first and foremost one of preaching the gospel, declaring it to everyone. Secondly, we see he is made a minister of Christ. He is made a minister of Christ in verse 25, and this ministry was not one that he took on himself. So if we were to make our checklist here, first, one who is to be an adequate minister or one following after the footsteps of Paul must be one to preach the gospel. They must have the gospel on their lips. Secondly, they must not have taken this ministry, but it must have been given by God. The church is not Buddy's church or my church. It's not even our church, although I'm sure that's probably where we want to be, where each one of us claims some responsibility of the church. But this is the church that belongs to Jesus. It is the gathering of those who love Jesus. And it is only at his loving grace that he gives someone to minister. Again, this is very hard to preach because I do not feel worthy. And yet God has made me a minister. And this is his grace for me at this time to come and to fulfill the word of God here. What are some of the things that the minister is to preach? We've already mentioned the gospel, but now we will see in verses 27 and following some of the other things that Paul was preaching and that a minister of the gospel needs to have as a focus. First, the riches of the glory of Christ, that is, Christ in you. Someone who is a minister of Christ needs to be instant in preaching the gospel for salvation, but also Christ in you, which is not just a nice saying. I'm not saying, oh, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. Isn't that a blessing? No. If Christ Jesus is inside of you and his life is shining out, your life will be different. And it will be different continually. It will not stay the same for decades. It will continually be drawing more and more towards Christ. At least that's the aim. I know all of us have ups and downs, but that should be the aim. That should be the goal. None should be left behind on this endeavor. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We aim for, but do not achieve, perfection here on earth. And then one day in glory, we will see him as he is, and we will be like him. This is the hope of glory that we have. This body will be transformed, this corruptible to incorruptible. We could go on and on about the hope of glory tonight. What else did Paul preach? In verse 28, we have more of what kind of preaching he makes. First, he preaches warning every man. Each one of us falls short at some point. Whether it's today or tomorrow, I will fall short, and so will you. And I pray that you will call me out on it. And you want someone to be in this pulpit who will call you out when they see you falling short of God's glory, warning you when you are not living up to God's standard. But not just warning, that's important, but not the only thing. Second, teaching in wisdom. Teaching every man in wisdom. You may have noticed I skipped a word in there, but we'll get back to that one. Teaching every man in wisdom. It's hard to learn. You can ask anyone here who is a teacher or has ever had a Sunday school class or has any kids. Teaching is hard work because each person learns differently. Each person understands things differently, or they come from a different background and don't understand everything you say it the first time you say it. Teaching is not just presenting an idea, but it is helping that other person to come along and to agree. It's to get them to learn more. This takes a little bit of effort on both sides, by the way. The preacher can't do it all, and God will only work as far as you allow him. So if you find that you have not been learning in wisdom, then maybe you need to put some effort in. I want you to notice there that Paul said, teaching every man in all wisdom. That word all is one that always catches my attention because it is so exclusive. It catches my attention because that's a big claim. Paul is saying he's teaching every man in all wisdom. That's an impossible task. There is no way that any man can understand what is needed on every person he meets and to teach them wisely. That's just impossible. That is not a human ability. That is not a natural ability. This means that God must be working in the teaching. And God is known as wisdom. And in James, we are told that if any man lacks wisdom, he can ask of God, who gives to everyone liberally, that is, bountifully. And he upbraideth not. That is, he won't chastise you or put you down. He'll give you all the wisdom that you need. The man of God in their preaching must preach warning. They also must teach in wisdom. And what is that goal that Paul had? And this is the same goal that I have for each one of you tonight. Obviously, I can't conclude this task tonight. But that I have for you and that Buddy has for each one of you. It is that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That word perfect means complete, mature, made up to its full stature. It is to be mature in a way that is, I guess to use an agriculture example here, a tree that has reached a full height and is now mature and it's something that you could harvest at any time. It is something that is useful, that is good, perfect. Paul wanted each one that he talked to, that he wrote to be brought along, not just a little way, not just to salvation, just into heaven's gate, but rather to bring them so that he could present them before Christ Jesus as, here is this one that is ready. They're perfect. They're mature. This is, I think, to the heart of Paul, and this is what I would claim to be my heart. It's what I'm aiming at. That, as I am preaching the gospel, that I am bringing each one of you to be perfect. Now, if you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, and we won't turn to too many passages tonight, so yeah, if you want to just turn over there now to Hebrews chapter 13. I want to focus in on another aspect of Paul's heart. Not Paul's heart. We don't know if it's Paul's heart or not. But another aspect of God's heart for those who are preachers. We'll begin in verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them, which have been occupied therein. I want us to see here that the preacher and his goal is that we should all come together following in the same footsteps as Jesus. Jesus walked by faith. We see over and over again when he prayed to his Father, where he encouraged his disciples to walk by faith. Even before they understood it, he kept encouraging them and teaching them. And here we are told to follow the faith of those who have spoken unto you the word of God. Neither I nor buddy want you to follow our mannerisms. You don't need to adopt an American accent to be spiritual. You don't. You don't need to adopt our mannerisms. You don't need to follow anything where we go wrong. But let me tell you what you do need to follow. You need to follow our faith. We trust in God. Follow that. Follow Christ and follow us as we follow Christ. Notice that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And often we quote that verse. But do you know it's tied in with the verse previous? Because we are told to consider the end of the conversation of those who have spoken to us the word of God. And their end is Jesus Christ. When you see someone who is walking close with God, considering their end, then follow their faith. Do not follow me because I stand in this pulpit. Follow me because you see Jesus. If you do not see Jesus, then let me know. Follow Jesus. Because Jesus does not change. This word does not change. He is the same forever. This theme is continued in verse 9, telling us not to be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. It is fun to hear something new. You know, a new set of jokes might actually get you to chuckle where the old ones didn't. And don't worry, I'm not going to tell you any because I'm horrible at it. Something new often grabs our attention. Do not be swayed because someone is teaching you something new. In fact, be wary of something new. There is nothing new under this sun. People have been evil since Cain. And God has been good since before that. We can rely on God. Don't be carried about with strange or diverse doctrines. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Build that into your mentality. And if I am preaching something that is not in line with what you have heard before, then obviously it's more likely that I'm wrong than that what has come before is wrong. So let us be wary of that. If we continue down a few verses, and we'll skip over the part about the offerings and the sacrifices. But if we go to verse 13, this attitude the preacher must have. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him, that is Jesus, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The preacher must have an attitude that is not tied to this world. If a preacher has, as Pastor mentioned this morning, 10 flash cars and the big mansions, then it's probable that his attention is not on God's word. It is on making merchandise of you. I'm not saying that all pastors must be poor, but that's how most of them are. Because if they're good ones, their concern is you and your soul not making a lot of money on it. They are willing to bear reproach, and they are not focused on what they have here. They are seeking a city to come. Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know if he was going to go north, south, or east next. He went at God's direction, and so must the one who preaches to you. Come with an attitude not tied to this world, but instead tied to Christ. I'd like to finish going back in our minds to the fact that the goal of Paul was to present each one of us perfect To be mature or perfect is to bring forth fruit. And if we jumped over to a well-known passage in Galatians, you know where I'm going. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Whatever the pastor preaches, he should be winning souls and he should be changing souls. Each one of us should be growing more and more mature. We should have more and more fruit. We should not be content with the fruit of the Spirit only being joy and peace, but go on until we've got all of them. We should not be content with saying, oh, I was able to witness to one person and see that one person come to Christ, and that's an amazing thing. But then to say, that's it, I've done my part, I'm fruitful. No, let the fruit of the Spirit show in your life. And the pastor that preaches before you must show these fruits, or they are themselves a cloud that brings no rain, a dry wind that sucks all the moisture out. They are a distraction and damage to you. So I challenge you, as we get to know each other, see if I match up with any of this. And I say any of it because there's no way I can match all of it. And hold whoever you have as pastor next to this standard, that you will grow and that their ministry will be one from Christ and not one for their profit. And once again, check your own self. Am I showing the fruit? Or have I gotten content with less? Have I gotten content with where I'm at now? The run to heaven is not a slow one or a small one. It will continue on until we get there. And whether that's death or rapture, hopefully, we will be continuing to work towards this maturity till we die. And so I challenge you, are you mature? If not, why not? Your pastor's heart is for you to be perfected. My heart is that you will at least be challenged today, warned, and maybe even taught a little bit today, so that one day you can stand before Christ perfected. Let's close now with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we do come before you, and it is solemn to think about your heart that you put into Paul and how much he cared for those around him. Father, we thank you that you are gracious and that though we are failing, yet you persevere. You teach us from wherever we're at, however far we have fallen, or any missteps that we have taken, and you draw us to make us perfect before you. Father, we ask that you would draw each one of us tonight closer to you. And Father, I do pray that you would give us wisdom as we come together and get to know one another, that we will be sure whether this is your will or not. Because, Lord, your church is not something to be trifled with, nor are your people something to be discarded or broken. Lord, we ask your name to be praised, and we thank you. Amen.